In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's good to be dry, isn't it? I gleefully collected all the buckets this morning and put them in a pile and didn't have to mop up anything, thanks be to God. Exactly. This morning, I want to talk about a little bit more about what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus. He's writing this letter, and many scholars, I say many, a few that I looked at anyway, refer to this passage. It starts chapter 1, verse 3, and goes through, 14 or something? I don't know. Yeah, 14. Until I'm done is where it goes. And the fact is this, they actually call it a eulogy. And that startled me for a moment. Because, of course, we know of eulogies are things that we hear at funerals. So, I had to look it up. And, of course, a eulogy is something that is praising someone over and above. And usually someone dead, it throws at the end. Usually someone who's died. But we know that he's speaking about Jesus Christ, talking about the fullness of God, the Trinitarian God. And we know that he is alive, amen? He is alive and well. And, of course, so does Paul know this. But he's just bubbling over with this message of praise and speaking in the midst of it about the will and the purpose of God. And it's really pretty beautiful. And it begins verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love." Well, let's stop there just a second. He chose us to be holy and blameless. How you doing with that? Yeah, same for me. High praise, tough words. Chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. See, we struggle with that, don't we? The will of God. What is the will of God? And here Paul is saying, to his good pleasure, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him. To his good pleasure. It's his will. His will is to be in relationship with us, to be reconciled to him. And I think sometimes it is so overwhelming to consider that we can't grasp it. It's too much. Because we feel responsible for ourselves, amen? But he chose you, even before the foundations of the world, to be holy and blameless. He didn't say he chose you because you are holy and blameless, amen? I mean, thanks be to God. If we want to be rejoicing about anything today, it should be that, at the very least. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, which means we can't even come close without Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, meaning Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. Funny thing about this concept, as Paul is just overflowing with this joy and understanding of who Jesus is and how God is moving, he is saying to us all these wonderful things, but hear this, you did nothing. God did everything. St. Augustine would say that he's the first mover. He is always the first mover. It is only by God's grace that you can even respond to God, amen? If God's grace isn't present in you, then you can't even recognize that God is. See, he is the first mover. He created you. in his image. So there is this little piece of you that says, I belong to something more. I belong to something bigger. And then we spend a lifetime trying to figure out what it is. And some of us think it's ourselves. And then we find out the hard way that it's not. And then we find out it's something even bigger than ourselves, if we could imagine such a thing. Maybe that's just me. But the fact is, God moves first. Paul is very excited about this today as he shares this great news. And he says, verse 9, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. Now, how many people have spent hours of their life trying to discern what is God's will? Well, you can stop. Because he's already shown you what his will is. His will is very simple. To be reconciled to you. For us to be reconciled to one another. For us to understand and know that he is present with us and within us. So that we can be as he created us to be in his image. Amen? We know the will of God. Our problem isn't knowing the will of God. Our problem is how do we actually live it? And that's where the struggle tends to come in. This glorious news hits us a little hard, and it continues to do so as he says these things, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. Live for the praise of his glory. Well, the world says I should live so people will praise me. We're trained for that, aren't we? We should be praised for everything we do. I mean, if you're under, I'm guessing, what, 14 or 15 years old, maybe you played on a baseball team when you didn't even know how to say baseball, and everybody got a trophy. We're praised for showing up. That's what the world tells us. I showed up, you should praise me. And God says, no, you should live a life that brings praise and glory to me. So in our world, that sounds backwards. Again, seems like every single time we encounter this Jesus, it sounds backwards to what the world keeps telling us. Huh. There might be something in that. What do you think? And we continue to go back and forth. We struggle in and we struggle our way back out. And then we fall down and then we figure out that we need to stand back up. And we think that we are actually doing something. We think we're doing something. Now, how many people believe that God called you to be here this morning? How many people think you decided to be here this morning? Yeah, I bet a few of us decided we didn't want to be here this morning. I actually wanted to be this morning, so we're in good shape today. But the fact of the matter is, we think we are in control of all things, and the fact of the matter is, God is in control of all things, and we usually have no problem saying that, most especially when it's not going our way. We just go, well, I guess it's God's will. Because we've tried to make it something else, and we couldn't make it something else. So I'll say this, if you are surrendering God's will because you can't take care of it yourself anymore, that's kind of okay. But imagine what would happen if you surrendered to his will before you tried everything else. I wonder if our attitude towards God might be better. What if we got up seeking God's will and only moved in the direction he called us, rather than trying to discern what we wanted to do that day so we could look special and get a trophy, and instead just let God get the trophy. Wouldn't that be glorious? Maybe we could all get our whole self in. I'd shake it all about, but I don't know if I can stop it. That image is burned in my head now forever, and that one in yours, amen? But the fact that it's so true. I spent all these hours trying to think of something nice to say, and I could have just done the hokey pokey. But isn't it just like that with God? We hear what God is saying. We hear Paul today just overflowing with this joy of who God is. pointing to God's will and how God moves and all the rest of it. And then we sit back and go, that was nice. And then God calls us. And we go, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm good enough to do that. I don't think I know how to do that. And in this entire passage, the only person who has any control over what you can do is God. And we fall in and out of that process. And I do also. With all this glorious understanding of who God is and his glorious good news, it is hard to surrender to God, isn't it? We had three pretty long weeks, a couple of us anyway. Congregation, VBS. Wow, what a glorious week, amen? God was just moving here. You could feel it. You could just sense it. It was just a great time to be together after such a long time of not really being as together as we are now. I mean, with one another. I'm not saying we got it together. Don't misunderstand that. But we then moved, Morgan and I, that God makes good of all things. I just want to clarify that. We had that great celebration the Sunday after the week of VBS. A lot of people came. There was great food to eat. And we gathered together yet again and just enjoyed being in the presence of God. We were this close to shaking it all about. And then a few of us left. You may remember there was a couple RVs over here in this side of the parking lot. And we got in those things in the van and we drove to Louisiana. Well, first we drove to Tallahassee, then we drove to Louisiana, and just so you know, Louisiana in the summer is unpleasant. Especially if you're an old chubby guy with a shovel outside. And it's a little low there. And we were, I mean, we're talking, you know, geography, you know. Sea level kind of low. And they picked the old chubby guy to go out with a shovel and dig holes and plant plants and pull weeds and cut trees down and other various things. And every time I dug a hole, you know what happened? It filled with water. So it's not, that's even heavier, by the way. So I got in there and I'm like, woohoo, I'm still fired up from Sunday, and we fought our way through and we got to interact with these folks who were discovering the greater, bigger thing in their life than themselves, so that they, I know, this, they get in this relationship with God and they were now changing, and we got to be there with them and talk with them and eat with them and serve them as they were finding their way to God. And then we got to go down into New Orleans and walk under the overpasses downtown, where there are people who, all they see is these crazy people who come out and bring them food and pray with them and talk about this Jesus, who some of them know and some don't know. And they are hearing the good news of the gospel. And what a glorious day that was to see God moving. We returned to our other work and sweating profusely. I still managed to gain weight while we were away. I don't know how. And the we got back on Saturday, and 21 hours later, after church, I got in my truck and I drove down to Day Spring, and I spent a week with another group of kids and Morgan, and we did mission camp. And we worked with Bread of Refuge. And Morgan and I had a conversation along the way, and it's just like, you know, this has felt like an incredible gift from God. We came back from all of that sounding a lot like Paul. This incredible God that we have, he is so glorious and so kind to us and gracious that he allow us into the mission field again and to see his presence and to see him work through these young people and to have him work on us older people and change our hearts and continue to strengthen us to do his work and his will. And then I came back to the office and the roof's leaking. Still, not in the office, by the way, don't panic. Greg got nervous just a second there. And there's a whole folder full of stuff, and Sue's like, hey, I got this whole folder full of stuff we have to go through, and there's things for you to sign, and there's voicemails that I didn't know I had. Took me 2 days to figure that out. And I'm dragging myself out of bed going, just didn't have the energy that I had doing the other work, you know? And I just sort of trudged along like that, trying to figure out how to motivate myself to get things done that needed doing. And there was a lot of things needed doing, still are, so if I haven't got to you, maybe you should probably remind me. And we got to Thursday, and it was Bible study day. And we're working our way through the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 10. And as I'm working that up, one of the things that struck me is there's this point where Daniel has no strength, and he has no strength. He cannot even speak, and he's literally fallen face down in the dirt. And the messenger from God has told him some things that were just overwhelming, and his response apparently was to fall face down in the dirt, where he can't move or speak. And I said, I know how that feels. And in the midst of our study on the book of Daniel, of all things, God speaking through Daniel still, to me anyway, I was reminded, this chapter is not just about earthly struggles, which were present in it. It is very much about spiritual warfare. And my heart opened up. And I realized God has been so good to me. He gave us this wonderful opportunity to go into the world to share the good news of his gospel. We were able to witness transformation of other human beings by the power of God. Amen? Now, we don't see that all the time when we come to church because you all already come knowing God, right? More or less. I mean, we're at least interested. And he's working in your life, or you would have never made it through the door. I mean, the grace of God carried you through the door. It may have been at the urging of some other family member, but either way, you heard it and you're here. But we have to remember, and I have to remember, sometimes in the midst of all that we get to do, the evil one doesn't want us doing anything. And nothing could touch us, basically, for 3 weeks. Let's see what that's good for. And we just kept moving, and we kept moving because we had no strength. I can only dig so many holes in Louisiana in the middle of summer, and at some point I know the fact that I'm standing up has nothing to do with my ability to stand up. To struggle through something like that and know that you've gotten to the end of what you're capable of and there you find God is always a glorious thing. And then to come back and to be disappointed in a sense, don't take that personally, this is an internal thing, has to do with remembering my own call. God's called me to be an Episcopal priest here at Holy Innocence. I didn't get that at order. The early service people got nervous, thought I was announcing my leaving. Actually, not everybody was nervous. Some people left disappointed. I'm not leaving. But as I heard within that story in Daniel, as he's fallen on his face and no longer has the strength to get up or to speak, and the messenger of God touches him and he can stand. And he touches his lips and he can speak. But without the power of God, he could do nothing. And after I got back here for a few days, I felt like I can do nothing. Everything I do is getting worse, not better. I'm looking at all the things that are going wrong and undoubtedly missed many things that were going right. And I was feeling a little sorry for myself because I wasn't feeling that great feeling that you get when you're out there hands-on and seeing the glory of God so easily. I was forgetting to see the glory of God in the obvious right in front of me every single day, even as an Episcopal priest, whose primary job, by the way, is overseeing all of this, which includes the buildings and the staff and a leaky roof. And the finances, and all the other things. That after this moment of feeling good about myself, realized God called me to be here. This may come as a shock, or maybe it'll help you. Living your life to the glory of God, aligning your will with His, means you have to actually surrender your will. I continually want to grab a hold of my will and ignore His. You'd think I'd be better at it by now, but I guess I'm not. So after a few days of reaching out and grabbing a hold of my will, and everything just keeps looking worse and worse, and my energy had drained from me, and my ability to understand or even speak about what was going on was gone, and I heard in Daniel that he was flat on his face and couldn't move or speak, I thought, I feel like that. And then remembering that a touch from God can change it all. And God touched me. He touched me in the middle of a Bible study on Thursday about Daniel. And I remembered I'm in the battle. And I rejoice to be in the battle. And sometimes I think the enemy's winning. But we know from the book of Daniel, the enemy never wins. We know from the Gospels, the enemy never wins. We know from the entire story of God, the enemy has already lost, amen? And we are called to live in the victory. We are called to move with the power of God. We are called to accept the fact that we were chosen, like it or not, that we are to find each day within us His strength to align with His will, not our own, to His glory, not ours, amen? And the beauty of that is when we are able to move in that way, we then see the glory of God. See, when we go away on a mission trip, it's easy to get into that frame of mind. Everything you're doing is built around this concept, and you see the glory of God. It's harder when we find our way back and we decide, oh, there's so much other stuff I got to take care of. Oh, now all of a sudden I'm important again. And guess what I found out when I thought I was important again? I'm not. And almost everything I did just kind of went bleh. So God gives us these moments. He gives me a lot of them. I'm sure you already know. I've told you many, many times that my relationship with God kind of looks like this. Oh, Brian, I got you still. He's patting me on the head, by the way, because I'm short. I imagine he's taller than me. And in that moment, I recognize that I am right where I'm supposed to be, exactly at the time I'm supposed to be here. And when I stand here looking out at all of you, even those I can't see that I know are looking back at me, I know He's called you to be here at this time for this purpose, His purpose, right now. Amen? How do we know? Well, look around you. The world is in desperate need of knowing God. And we find ourselves sometimes in desperate need of knowing God again. And that's why we have one another. The beauty of it is when we stay together, we can help each other and we find our way back. And the beautiful thing is He's called us to do that with one another now so that we can be His light to this world right here where He's planted us. And we are all here now for that purpose. If it wasn't true, then we would have to look at what Paul said about being chosen by Him and set apart since the beginning of before time for His will and for His good pleasure. We would have to say, that sounds nice, but it isn't true. But I think we believe it true, amen? So here we are. Here's the scary part. We will be asked to do a lot of things, brothers and sisters, as we go forward together, seeking to do His will and continue to do the work He's called this community to do since the beginning of its beginning, 60-some years ago. Purpose hasn't changed. God's will hasn't changed. The way in which it gets done hasn't changed. The way in which we move is going to change from time to time. But that will be dictated by the world around us so that we can better represent God to the world. Amen? And we're in that time, and we're ready for it. Do you know how I know? Because I just said, and we're ready for it, and everybody's mind went, I don't think I'm ready. That's how I know you're ready, brothers and sisters, because it can only be done by the power of God, amen? It's not going to be done by us or any of our grand ideas or anybody's particular skill. It will be done, however, by the gifts of God given to each person here for this time and for this purpose of growing his kingdom, amen? And that time is now. The time is right now, and the opportunity to do it is right now. And the opportunity we have as those sitting here working through it is discerning and understanding that God's will is already in place. And now how do we get alongside his will so that his will be done to his great pleasure? It may not be as great a pleasure to us from time to time. It may look like digging holes in the mud, 99.9 degrees with 99.9% humidity. And we'll do it anyway, to the glory of God. It may mean walking with people who don't know God at all, who may not even like us, or may not even appreciate the fact that we're standing there and we're going to stand in love with them anyway. It might mean that we don't do it like we used to do it anymore, because God's calling us to keep moving forward off the foundation that he's built here for over 60 years. It's time for us to continue to move by the power of God and to surrender our will to his, and we already know what it is, amen? He's told us. So brothers and sisters, after taking 3 days or four-ish, maybe five, to figure out again that I am not important and that my will does absolutely nothing to the good pleasure of God, I stand here to say I am right where God has called me to be. You are right where God has called you to be, and to his good pleasure, and in alignment with his will, I am ready. Are you ready?